Aloha and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Yenji Denise, filling in for Catherine Cruz. Hawaii's healthcare worker shortage is growing. We have a deficit of roughly 800 doctors, 1,000 nurses, and we also need more medical assistants, laboratory technicians, and nursing aides. A recent report also found that we have less than half of the psychiatrists, psychologists, and licensed clinical social workers than we need. So what can be done to increase access to care? That's what we're tackling today with leaders in nursing, physician recruitment, and community health. We want to hear from you. The numbers to reach us are 808-941-3689 on Oahu or 877-941-3689 on the neighbor islands. It's Monday, November 4th. Aloha. Welcome back to The Conversation. I'm Yenji Denise. We are speaking today with healthcare leaders about shortages across many areas. Laura Reichhardt is a registered nurse and director of the Hawaii State Center for Nursing, which was established two decades ago by the Hawaii State Legislature to address nursing workforce issues. They work to ensure that Hawaii has an adequate and well-prepared nursing workforce. Dr. Victoria Haynes is a psychologist and the chief operating officer for the Hawaii Island Community Health Center, which serves roughly 40,000 patients across Hawaii Island. And Natalie Talamoa is the executive director of the Hawaii Residency Programs, which aims to address the state's healthcare worker shortage by training new physicians and encouraging them to practice locally. Welcome, everyone. You know, we laid out some pretty compelling numbers about the shortages across the board. So I'd like to ask each of you where you see the biggest impact of the shortages in the work that you do. And Vicki, we'll start with you.
Sure. Thank you, Yenji, for having me this morning. Healthcare, the landscape is challenging. We have a lot of folks that have a lot of needs. And on Hawaii Island, you know, at the Hawaii Island Community Health Center, we are very attuned to this. We're very sensitive to what's going on with our workforce and the effect that healthcare over the long term that it can have on our healthcare workers. Right now our issue really is not so much retention, but recruitment. It really is retention. It's how to support our healthcare workers at the front line in doing this work over the long term. How to support them with their own health and wellness, their work-life balance, as well as burnout prevention. Mm.
Laura, I'm interested to hear from you. When we think about 1,000 nurses, that is a tremendous number of individuals. What is the impact of that on healthcare statewide?
Thank you for that question, and thanks for having me here today. So when we think about 1,000 nurses, we have to remember that there's also been incredible growth in the number of nurses that have provided services in our state. So there are more jobs for nurses than there were before the pandemic, because we saw that nurses really needed to be doing more things in the community, and patients in hospitals and long-term care, they have become sicker. And so it requires more nurses because there's more work. That workload really has to be shared amongst our colleagues in nursing. It is a big challenge, though, because when you have sicker patients, whether they're at home, whether they're in a community health center, whether they're in a hospital or a long-term care setting, the sicker they are, the more coordination, the more critical thinking, and that's where those pieces really come into play. You have to be managing the people, but also what their specific needs are. And nurses, therefore, when we look at the 1,000 nurses, that is commonly referred to in the news, and our workforce research partners, when they find that there's that many needs, that is really impacting a large number of communities. It's more impactful in rural communities, but then we know that when people become really sick, they come to Oahu and they receive that care here. So that catchment and that collaboration across colleagues and across settings really is impacted in every setting.
Mm. And Natalie, you know, I know that you work directly with physician recruitment and retention. When we have a physician shortage of, I believe it's around 800 right now in our state, where do you see, the biggest impact of that?
Definitely. Thanks for having me today. We see it in the primary care specialties primarily. And so, you know, we consider, you know, internal medicine, family medicine, pediatrics, and then geriatrics too. So, you know, from birth to our keiki to our kupuna, really, we see just a lot of issues not being able to get the care that they need. And so our focus has been on trying to increase the number of doctors that we train in those specialties.
Interesting. I want to follow up with something that Vicky said with you, Laura, and that is this idea of retention. When you find that nurses, you know, if they leave Hawaii or if they leave the workforce, do they tend to leave the state? Is that the issue, or do they tend to leave the profession?
There's a lot of different reasons why nurses leave, and the Center for Nursing actually produces research on that. What I can say is that there's a little bit of each of the things. Some nurses will go to another state. Some nurses will retire. That's a big reason why we don't have retention these days, is that we have a lot of people who've been a nurse for a long time, and they deserve to retire. But we also have people who will go into a different role. And so, like myself, I was trained as a registered nurse, and then I got additional training to become a nurse practitioner. That takes you into a different setting, though. So that will be a loss for one job, but you might be retained in the profession. And so those nuances are important to pay attention to. And then even some of that retention also will be like, well, maybe your dream is to become an ICU nurse, but you're at a hospital that does not have, you might be at a critical access hospital, or you may be at a long-term care facility. There's no setting, there's no ICU in long-term care. So you might move to a different job to find your career potential, to fulfill your career dream. And so all of those nuances are happening. It's not so much that we don't see that people are fully leaving the career as much as they're moving into their different interest areas. Right now, our data says that I think it's 95-98% of licensed nurses are actually in a nursing job in Hawaii. So we are seeing that nurses are working as nurses, but there's just so many opportunities. And that retention then into a setting, or keeping them in a specific job, in a specific role, in a specific region, that's the kind of secret sauce that we're working on, because that's so fragile.
You know, Vicky, there was a article that came out actually just today from the Hawaii Journal of Health and Social Welfare on a study about physician shortages. This focused specifically on Kauai, but it said there's a 21% physician shortage statewide. The shortage is calculated by dividing the availability of physicians over demand. On the neighbor islands, that range is 30-43% of a shortage as compared to Oahu. How do you see that in your day-to-day with the clients that you service? You know, what are the patient outcomes when you have those kinds of numbers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yanji, when you don't have enough providers, and we, you know, we categorize our providers as providers. So, you know, we have some advanced practice, mid-level providers, you know, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, as well as physicians on our team. And, you know, it's all about access in rural areas on Hawaii Island. If we have a higher than normal turnover rate with our provider team, what it means is that our patients can't get in for the care that they need. There's delays in access to care, diagnostic care, and follow-up treatment care. And, you know, for our patients in Hawaii County, there's this added layer of challenges to access, because we may not have, you know, the scope of specialty care that, you know, that we can find in, you know, an urban center, you know, on the island of Oahu. And so our patients have to travel, you know, much farther, and the coordination of care is much more complicated for our patients in rural settings. And so, you know, we, as a federally qualified health center, you know, social health is one of our four pillars. And so we put a lot of investment into our enabling teams, our care coordination nurses, our patient navigators, you know, our support team, because we know that it does require that extra effort for our patients to access care.
If you're just joining us, we're talking today about the need for more healthcare workers in Hawaii, and we'd like to know how you may have been impacted by these shortages. Have you felt this in your own life? You can join our discussion by calling us at 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 from the neighbor islands. So, Natalie, where is the biggest issue as you see it when it comes to getting the physicians that go through residency here in Hawaii to actually get them to stay and practice here at home?
So I would say the biggest issue is getting them, you know, to really find the right opportunity. So some of them, you know, they want to stay, but they have a hard time finding the right fit, the right position. So what we've focused on is getting them out there to experience what it's like to live in our different rural communities, since we know that's where the largest need is. So spending, you know, a month or even longer, if possible, to rotate in a community. We encourage them to get out and do community activities as well, just to see if this is a good fit. And then if they spend that time, then they're like, hey, this is where I can see myself, then they're more likely to stay. And hopefully be retained long term, because they may go and then maybe it's not a good fit. And so we want to make sure that they find the right spot that has what they're looking for. Some people, I'll share kind of a cute story, but, you know, when you're on the neighbor islands, I've had them tell me, you know, when they're out there, that, you know, you have to be willing to, you know, see your patients at Costco or wherever, and they're going to come up to you and ask you. Or, you know, I had one pediatrician tell me, she was at Costco and her patient saw her getting a bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos and said, "Hey, doctor, you said I couldn't have that." She's like, "I'll put it back." So, you know, you have to be ready to embrace that. And for some of our physicians, they love that and it's a good fit. And some it's not, and they're better suited in an urban environment. But getting them exposure is huge, and that's what we really try to focus on.
Yeah, and we are competing in a, you know, national marketplace, right? We are not the mm-hmm. only community that is experiencing these shortages. Is there a way that Hawaii can make itself more attractive to retain some of these folks?
I think that, you know, Hawaii really has some unique things. We have a very unique, mix of just community that is, you know, Hawaii is, I mean, I'm very biased. I'm born and raised in Hawaii, but I think, you know, we have lots to offer, you know, culturally and that just make people fall in love with our place. We have a, you know, wonderful quality of life that can exist. But I think what's hard is it's that tug of like, okay, the cost of living is really high. You know, how am I going to, you know, afford to buy a home? Can I find a home? Like, there's all these things. And so it's trying to find the resources to help them to navigate all of that is a way to help. And so I think a lot of organizations, I mean, are focused on trying to help healthcare workers find adequate housing, right? That helps them stay. If they can't find a place to stay, they're out. You know, they're like, we're out of here. I'm going to move my family back. I mean, whatever it is, there's a lot of challenges that come with living here. But if they get it figured out, they're going to stay. And they'll stay for years and years.
Yeah, Vicki, I would imagine that that's a challenge, particularly where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, we have an incredible human resources team, and they work really, really hard to wrap around our potential recruits. And, you know, being priced out of paradise is a very real phenomenon. And so for, you know, the newly licensed provider, you know, that's looking for a place to kind of grow some roots and, you know, start a family, you know, they work so hard through their education. You know, we need to be sensitive to what it takes to kind of start a career in a rural area. But, you know, in our case also, you know, it takes an amazing amount of effort and resources to support what our providers are doing. And so our nursing team, our medical assistants, our dental assistants, our patient service representatives, all of that is a part of, you know, patient care. And so while it's difficult for some of our licensed providers, our direct service providers, it's especially difficult for our support staff. And so, you know, the healthcare system, I think, has a lot of work to do, you know, to support our frontline workers in general. And I think it needs to become a more prominent part of the conversation.
And I think to add to that, Vicki, I think we've done some really good things, particularly with nursing and with allied care. The education happens at home normally. And so with physicians, a lot of times you go away to school and then you come back, or you get recruited into the state. But for nursing, for allied care, for a lot of the tech positions, you can get that education at home. So people already know how to live here and they're choosing healthcare careers to give themselves a brighter future. So that is one benefit that we have for a lot of our professions is that healthcare is a really good choice. And then things like the Center for Nursing, we're finding opportunities to get more specialty training in those facilities. So you don't have to jump a hospital, but now you can get that future for your own profession in your workplace. And then there's some state initiatives that have been really, I think, fulfilling these other external topics like the HELP program that we have, yes. That was a big governor's initiative, and actually Kelly Withy at the JABSOM Area Health Education Center is running it. We're getting loan repayment, not just for physicians and nurses, which is kind of traditional, but also like dental hygienists and LPNs and techs, which is not traditional, but I think where it's more needed. We have some initiatives where there's like down payment matching for healthcare workers, any high demand role, that kind of work where it's saying like, okay, salary alone doesn't do enough in our state. But how is the state coming in and then providing these additional resources? What are the professional development opportunities that can make you fulfill your professional goals while staying in your own community? Looking at those aspects, I think, are really starting to come into play right now in such a cool way, because it's helping people say like, I really want to be a resident of Lanai my whole life. I don't want to have to leave. I want to stay. And then also, I want this career. There are some instances where we've been able to find the training opportunities and bring them into Lanai. We did that for CNAs a couple years ago, first time in 12 years that they had a CNA training. But that helped people who wanted to stay home, become a healthcare professional. And then the cost of education, you know, there's these supports that are coming from the state. When we build those together, that's going to have a stronger kind of fortress around the person to help them be strong and resilient that we really didn't have even in 2019.
Yeah, and I mean, Laura, what you bring up a good point that, and both of you, about the idea that, you know, we tend to fixate on the number of doctors and the number of nurses, but really we're talking about the whole hospital. I mean, Vicky, where do you see those PUCAs, you know, the most? We talked mm-hmm. earlier about, you know, I mentioned lab techs and nursing aides and other support staff, but where do you see those needs?
Right, yeah. You know, at our front desk, you know, our patient service representatives, you know, it's they're our front line. They're welcoming our patients as they come in to see us. They're you know, doing all of the important data gathering pieces. It's a challenging role. Like Laura was saying, I think the training and options for movement within a system, I think, are going to attract you know, people that want to enter into roles like this as a step into healthcare. You know, health information, referrals, medical records, even healthcare accounting and billing. There's such a need to kind of help the organization move. And one of the things that we've tried really hard to do at Hawaii Island Community Health Center is create opportunities for internal movement. So you may enter as a patient service representative, but you know, after some training and exposure, you would have the opportunity to move into referrals or medical records or into our accounting department, which is a really nice option for folks that, you know, are local and want to stay, you know, where they may be born and raised or where they're raising their family, you know, that they don't have to look outside of the community for those opportunities, that we're able to kind of grow our own in a sense.
You're listening to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. We are talking about Hawaii's shortage of healthcare workers. You can join our discussion by calling 1-877-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Support for HPR comes from Haleakala Ranch, with a legacy of livestock, conservation, and land stewardship since 1888, working to restore, maintain, and preserve the open vistas and natural beauty of Maui. More at haleakalaranch.com.
Republicans have already filed more than 90 lawsuits challenging voting rules and practices across the U.S. before a single ballot has been counted.
The theory is probably if they file in certain courts, get the judges that they want, those judges will assume jurisdiction for post-election challenges as well.
The looming legal battle after Election Day. That's on the next On Point.
Beginning this afternoon at 2.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Honolulu Waldorf School.
Thank you. This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Yanji Denise, and our guests in the studio today are Laura Reichhart, Director of the Hawaii State Center for Nursing, Dr. Victoria Haynes, Chief Operating Officer for the Hawaii Island Community Health Center, and Natalie Talamoa, Executive Director of Hawaii Residency Programs. We have been focusing on the impact for patients, but I wonder, Laura, if we could start with you, what is the impact of these shortages to the existing workforce?
You know, it really comes down to well-being and workload. And so nursing in particular is a very dangerous job. I mean, we're lifting patients and people, our whole bodies are heavy. But then there's also emotions and purposeful and non-purposeful reactions. So you might get hit, you might get hurt, you might, you know, and then there's also the stress that you're doing the right thing. So having enough time to work and make sure that you have therapeutic communication, that you are checking the right medication for the right time, for the right patient, for the right, you know, like all of this thoughtfulness that has to come in that makes you a safe practitioner gets harder when you have more patients, challenging patients. You know, they're very sick and you're trying to care for them. But if you feel like you're stretched thin or you're too tired, that is a huge challenge. And so that well-being aspect is really critical. And then the workload aspect, making sure you have enough time to do the thoughtful and careful work to make sure that you can be that safe provider that is providing the best care to your patients and helping them have their best health outcomes. So that workload and then well-being piece, they're like identical twins, right? Like you have the same, they're just manifesting in two different ways, but they are the same beast that we are really trying to work and enable success in both of those aspects.
Yeah, Natalie, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that as you were saying what our different resident and fellow physicians go through, and I think it's managing the complexity of, you know, just the electronic health record, and the paperwork burden is so high for all of our providers out there, and so it's how do they integrate well-being with what they do, but how do they always find meaning in medicine, we like to call it, you know, that they started off, they wanted to be a doctor, they wanted to help people. Do they continue to feel that way as they navigate through all these, you know, with insurance and all the things, the hurdles that they have to go through? And so I think connecting them, finding their connection to their community and to the people they serve really helps with that. And so we like to introduce them to learning about the different culture of Hawaii, culture of other different groups in Hawaii as well, and through that they're able to really connect with their patients.
Yeah. What do you think about this, Vicki, the idea that we focus on the impact of the patients and mm-hmm. we spend a lot of time talking about that, but what about the impact of the existing workforce?
Right. Yeah. From an organizational perspective, you know, when we're dealing with workforce challenges, what it does is it requires kind of putting out fires, right? You're kind of in crisis reactive mode. And as an organization, you know, we like to pride ourselves on being innovative and progressive and dynamic and responsive to the needs of the community. And when we have, you know, turnover that's kind of churning in the organization, if we have, you know, vacancies that are especially high in certain areas, you know, it requires a lot of resource to kind of stabilize and do our very best to not affect the quality that our patients are receiving. That's kind of, you know, primary, is that we want to take good care of the people that we're serving. And so, you know, in order for us to stay progressive and responsive, you know, we need to take care of our staff and address, you know, the shortages that are existing. And, you know, strategically, that's very important to us.
Yeah. Laura, you know, we were introduced to the idea of traveling nurses during COVID. That was something that I think a lot of us weren't familiar with. And then, of course, we needed a lot of help during the pandemic. And so we brought a lot of people in. What role are traveling nurses playing now in our healthcare system in Hawaii?
We're seeing them less in terms of normal daily circumstances. A lot of our hospitals, acute care facilities have worked really purposefully to find long-term nursing positions. And then where people are needing, or where there's vacancies in specialty areas, they're finding people who want to go into those areas and then working to train them. And so we're seeing that there's less utilization of travel nursing. Whereas during the pandemic, we had such a different healthcare environment in a very brief amount of time that they were bringing specialists in because we didn't have those resources, or they needed flexibility where people had a lot of cross training. Over the past 3 years, we've really seen a commitment to that. At the stable, what I'll call a stable staffing environment, where you're having a local workforce, long-term employment. So let's think local people or people who have transplanted here and feel very strong about the communities they're working in and serving. We're seeing it less. I will say, and I recognize that we are in a three-day strike. So there is also that important role that when nurses are exercising their right to strike, then we also have travel nurses who are maintaining that patient care in the communities and in those hospitals so that both can happen. And so we're seeing that, and we just saw it last month as well.
We have a comment from a doctor in Hilo. This is someone that I'll be reading the comment on the air, who says that it would be wonderful if the state would aid community colleges and universities to implement doctor, nurses, and dental hygiene programs in facilities in all major counties. This would bring, this would bring jobs to the state and students from all over the Pacific, providing jobs to the local population and more health options to the community. Natalie, I wonder what your thoughts on that, about making sure that, you know, Laura did talk about some training programs that exist, but we could certainly use more.
Yeah, I agree. And we've actually been hard at work at expanding, especially in the primary care area. And so we've grown a new internal medicine primary care program. We're also in the middle of growing one for Kauai, specifically for family medicine. So they'll be out there. But our medical school, JABSM, also sends its medical students out for long rotations out, and they're in our neighbor island communities.
Thank you so much for that. Natalie, Vicki, when we talk about not having this access and we think about the traveling nurses, providers who are coming here, what is the burden on patients, especially in a community like on the Big Island, to have to travel even just to Oahu to see an oncologist, let's say, about mm-hmm. the resources that they don't have? What resources do you not have on Hawaii Island that folks have to travel for, and what does that end up leading to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think our local hospital systems, Hilo Hospital and Kona Hospital, I think, and of course North Hawaii Queens, I think that they've done a really good job at trying to kind of bolster the specialty care that our patients in Hawaii County have access to. When we're talking about nephrology is definitely something that is of high need. And so for our patients, if you have Medicaid, for example, you have to have your primary care provider involved in your care. It requires processing a referral, which sometimes can take a few weeks. If it's an urgent situation, that processing time can be expedited. Like I was saying earlier, it requires a number of hands to help support that patient to make it sometimes from their home, which may be 60, 70 miles to the nearest airport, requiring taxi involvement, getting a patient on the plane, requiring taxi from the airport in Honolulu to their specialty and back. It's often a very, very long day for our patients. They're already not feeling well. They have to see their specialty provider for a reason. It takes a toll. The primary care provider, we're doing our very best to support patients and kind of wrap around, but it does take a toll on the individual, the families, and of course the systemic resources that are required to get the patient the care that they deserve.
Do you find that some folks just say, that's too much, I'm just not going to go?
Yeah. Sometimes, when we're talking about our kupuna and some of the limitations with some of the coverage that exists, sometimes that travel is not a part of their benefits. And so those are out-of-pocket costs that our kupuna have to cover for, their visit to their nephrologist. When you think about the cost involved in inter-island travel these days, everything is more expensive, right? People have to prioritize and make some really difficult decisions about what it's going to take for them to access their care.
We have a caller from a neighbor island. Joe on Maui is sharing his story with us. Good morning, Joe.
Marty?
Please go ahead.
Oh, well, I just going to say, you know, how bad it is here. It's almost hilarious. I was involved in a pretty bad accident. I fell like the equivalent of from the third floor over the railing and fell 20 feet down and broke my back and got severe whiplash in my neck. And this is July 12th, and I'm not scheduled to see a doctor till February 13th of next year.
Wow. That's incredible. I'm so, so sorry to hear that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. You know, Laura, when you hear something like that, that is heartbreaking for him, you know, thinking about having to falling in July, not being able to see a specialist till February. What can be done for someone like Joe?
Well, first, Joe, thank you for calling and sharing. And I'm glad that you're here, first of all. I think Vicki and the resources that community health centers offer are really a good testament to this. There is a lot of care that can be received while you're waiting for a physician, which is oftentimes necessary for those big next steps. Do you need surgery? Do you need advanced referrals? But when there's nurse practitioners, when there's physical therapists, when there's folks who are able to provide the other services that you may need, that may not be surgery, but they can, you know, a nurse practitioner can refer to physical therapy or other therapists. Those resources, I think that is when we all as a team can come in and try to get you the care that you need immediately, because it's clear that you know, February is a long ways off. So all of those wraparound services and the community of support that we're all working to care is where we hope that comes in for you, but also for a lot of other people.
Yeah. Vicki, go ahead.
Yeah, Joe, I appreciate you calling in and sharing your story. It takes a lot of courage to call and share, you know, kind of what you're going through. And I would just add to what Laura shared, you know, telehealth is an amazing option for us now that we, you know, it's relatively new, you know, pre-COVID. It's one of the good things I think that came out of COVID is that, you know, it is a tool that we can utilize to kind of bridge care. Some services you can't, you know, provide over telehealth. You know, the provider needs to go hands-on with the patient. But, you know, it can be the start of a treatment plan. It could be an opportunity to create relationship with a provider. You know, injuries that Joe is describing are immense and requires a lot of trust and relationship, between the patient and the provider. That has to be there in order for that true healing to take place. So telehealth could be an option to explore if he hasn't already, to connect with someone in Honolulu or beyond. That could be a good fit for him as he starts his healing journey.
Yeah, Natalie, I'm interested in how telehealth has changed the way we are able to do healthcare across the state. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, we really got to see that a lot with COVID and, you know, our resident physicians, you know, they got to experience that as part of their training. And for a short period of time, it was actually allowed for them to engage in that with supervision, of course. And so I think the exposure has helped them to want to do that, you know, in their future careers and have that be a part of how they care for patients. And I think just kind of open their eyes that there's lots of possibilities. It's not just, you know, traditional office settings. So I think that they're doing more telehealth for sure.
Okay. This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. We're discussing the labor needs for Hawaii's healthcare sector. You can join our conversation by calling 1-877-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
American voters elect the president, but whoever takes office will shape events beyond our borders.
We'll take a close look at what's at stake around the globe in Latin America and Africa, Asia and Europe when America chooses the next U.S. president.
Tune in for that conversation next time on The World.
Beginning this afternoon at 1.
On the next Fresh Air, Al Pacino talks about some of his classic films, including The Godfather. and tells us about growing up in the South Bronx with a single mother, little money, and friends who never made it out alive. He also talks about getting his start in avant-garde theater in Greenwich Village, nearly dying of COVID, and his life today. He has a new memoir. Join us.
Beginning this afternoon at 3.
Welcome back to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Yenji Denise, and we're speaking today about the impacts of the healthcare worker shortages that we're feeling across the state. Joining us in studio are Dr. Victoria Haynes, Chief Operating Officer for the Hawaii Island Community Health Center, Natalie Talamoa, Executive Director of Hawaii Residency Programs, and Laura Reichhart, Director of the Hawaii State Center for Nursing. Laura, let's talk a little bit more about solutions now. What are some successful models from other states or even counties that Hawaii could use to address these issues?
We've actually been pretty successful in using some of those solutions and applying them to Hawaii. And our partnerships locally make it possible because they're like, yeah, let's try that. So one example, we have a preceptor tax credit, and we started that in 2018. Georgia and Maryland and Colorado had it already. And we've been able to use that to kind of boost interest in being a preceptor, which is like the expert physician or nurse practitioner or pharmacist who then takes a trainee into their setting and has them learn with patients. And so that model, we've been able to grow the number of preceptors, and we've been able to support that education on anywhere that education is happening in our state. The residency model, not just for physicians, but for nurses, we've been using. We were the first in the nation to have a statewide collaborative, even though the concept has happened, you know, is much much older than a statewide collaborative. But in our state, when nurses go through a residency, 97% of them stay in their job in their first year. And across the nation, only 72% do, which is, and usually, like, if you quit your first job in nursing, you quit nursing. So those kinds of things where we're taking a national model, and then we say, like, how can we do that for our state in a way that really fits our partners and our nurses or our healthcare colleagues has been successful. So we're using a specialty training. We're using a model to use available curriculum and put it into employers' hands so they can train their nurses. That we're waiting to get the retention information from. We're seeing successes. We've seen great successes with nurse residencies. We're seeing successes with preceptors. Some other things I think we can do is think about how partnerships that we haven't used in the past, like what does insurance network adequacy look like? And there's a strong model to measure that, but how can they become collaborative partners in kind of the whole continuum? How can we do education together in a better way so we're not using as many resources so that workload is reduced because we're more efficient in our strategies? So the collaboration that we see in other states or even small communities, I think we could apply a little bit better. But we do a lot of great stuff already.
Let's go to Dan now, who's a nurse educator here on Oahu. Dan, good morning. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I am a longtime RN. I teach palliative care nursing at Chaminade University of Honolulu, where we've begun the first palliative care nursing undergraduate minor in the United States. We're trying to help grow the palliative care nurse workforce in our state. Most of our students are born and raised in Hawaii and have every intention of practicing in Hawaii. Some of the challenges that new graduate nurses face in Hawaii is getting nurse residencies upon graduation so that they can stay in the state. There is an innovative program through Hawaii Care Choices, formerly known as Hospice of Hilo, known as a nurse apprenticeship program, where they're willing to hire new grad RNs and pair them with a preceptor, train them to become hospice and palliative care nurses. have been in conversation with some hospices on Oahu to create similar types of positions. The one in Hilo actually has some grant funding through a collaborative known as Hui Pohala, which is leveraging federal grant money to help grow the palliative care nursing workforce in Hawaii. And then I previously practiced hospice nursing in San Diego with a large nonprofit hospice, Sharp Hospice, and we had a hybrid type of model for telehealth visits where our palliative care and hospice nurse practitioners, they had to see a lot of patients in one day, and they, if they had to drive to the patients' homes, it would severely limit the number of visits that they could do to do what's known as a face-to-face visit in order to certify that someone was still eligible for hospice. The RN on their team would be in the home doing the physical assessment, including vital signs, listening to heart and lungs, reviewing medications, doing wound assessments if appropriate, and then we would get the nurse practitioners on FaceTime so that they could interact face-to-face, so to speak, visually and in real time with the patient and the caregiver. And so I was the RN in the home that was enabling our nurse practitioner to do a face-to-face visit. So it saved, it was a way to maximize the use of their time while having a team member in the home to facilitate that visit. And I'm thinking that for people in the more remote areas, perhaps if they can't see a specialty provider for months, perhaps the specialty provider could get on some type of secure video call with an RN in the home. I'd like to suggest that specialties besides hospice could use a similar model where you have a local nurse connecting the patient, you know, in the home, connecting with a specialist.
Thank you so much. Yes, Dan, thank you so much for both of
providers' time.
Thank you so much, Dan, for sharing both your experience as the nurse educator and also that telehealth model. Very interesting there. And Laura, I want to key into something that Dan had said early about, you know, nurses needing to find these residency programs. You laid out that, you know, 97% of the folks who go through those pairings stay. So how do we get more of those opportunities? What's the missing piece?
Well, so we actually had a tremendous growth before the pandemic. Although it was a statewide collaborative, it wasn't as, we had less demand for new grads, unfortunately. And we've really changed. We've turned that corner. So about 350 new graduates are offered those residency programs in our state through hospitals. And then the program that he mentioned is separate and beyond that. And so we are seeing that other facilities are trying to develop their own specialty residencies very successfully. So those are, they are existing and they're at a capacity. They are pretty available at this point in time. Where we need to grow is long-term care in the community specialty areas like palliative care, hospice, FQHCs for the nursing roles, the community health, the public health nursing roles. So we can expand into those other areas. But at scale, they really do exist in acute care and they're doing really good work.
Let's go to another caller, Martha, calling from Kauai. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning.
Please go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to add that it would be really helpful if there was relocation assistance for nurses, because my family's been wanting to move here and, you know, just be part of and serve the community. And but in order to get approved for a loan for a house, I have to have a job offer letter. So, you know, it's hard to line all those things up at the same time. And then just moving over from the mainland to Hawaii is, you know, it's a big deal. I have a disabled son, and just relocating and figuring out all those logistics are, you know, the devil's in the details always. So
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Martha. We hope that you can make that journey because clearly we need more medical providers, especially nurses. Natalie, I know you have an event coming up to help bridge this gap. I know it's particularly for physicians, but what she's talking about is not limited to her situation and to nurses. It falls for doctors as well. What are the resources out there? And tell us about what's happening on the 20th.
Yeah, definitely. So, we're hosting a career pathways event for our physicians in training, and basically, we're bringing together all the different hospital partners, so all our community hospitals, smaller medical groups, and we really want to have the opportunity that our physicians can be mentored by other physicians that work in our, especially our rural communities, so they can talk about what it's like to work there. And then we also are providing them with other resources, like we have different banks joining us there that day as well to help with the loan products for mortgages or starting their own practice. And so really just giving them all the tools they need, and the governor will be joining us as well, and I hope that he'll be able to offer them a nice encouragement to consider Hawaii for their future practice as well. And so we just really want to aid them with all the tools they need, and residents who train in Hawaii are more likely to stay, and so at least 50% of our graduates stay. The ones that go away, they're looking for opportunities, kind of what others were talking about today, looking for the specialty type experience, and so we're working on growing more of those specialty fellowships as well, so they can stay and never leave and serve our community.
We love that so many of you are calling in. Let's go to Maureen now, a registered nurse who's been in California for 20 years, living on Kauai now. Maureen, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Maureen. I'm a registered nurse since 1970. I have a master's degree in nursing, and I've worked as a family nurse practitioner in Southern California for 20 years, and I've lived on Kauai for 26 years, and so I'm acutely aware Kauai is considered rural area, and we're so short of providers here. But in terms of nursing care in hospitals and outpatient, the problem has been in existence since the 70s, that nurses are not paid adequately, and in the hospital they have no say in staff-patient ratios. And so the staff ends up being overworked, they get burnt out, and they leave nursing, they leave the hospital, and we end up with acute shortages of nurses in the hospital. But that is why, and the recent strike at Kapi'olani Medical Center showed that so well, that the big thing that the nurses wanted was a say-so in the staff-patient ratio numbers.
Maureen, thank you so much for all the work that you've done as a nurse for so long, and thank you for sharing your views this morning. We really do appreciate it. We know that the healthcare workers are all working so hard, all providers across all the levels we've been talking today. Vicki, I want to make sure that we talk about your event on the 20th as well and how that can help with this.
Great. Thank you. Yes. We're also having an event on November 20th. Auntie Marcy Salking, our Chief Administrative Officer, has been doing an awesome job at planning our first annual Hawaii Island Healthcare Career Expo. So that's going to be from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Edith Kanaka'ole Stadium in Hilo. And so what we're doing is we are inviting all of our partners from the healthcare community, our payer partners, our business partners, our training and educational partners, and we're bringing them all together to kind of have that conversation, talk about resources, talk about what it's going to take to build capacity. And we're also very interested in career pathways. And so what Auntie Marcy's been doing is she's been connecting with our local high schools. Many of the high schools in Hawaii County have healthcare academies. So we're trying to, move upstream and connect with kids that have an interest or passion for helping others, for taking care of others, and giving them exposure and opportunity to see what resources are out there and talk about just different careers in healthcare, from provider to health IT to front desk to behavioral health and dentistry. And so we're really excited. It's going to be our first event, and we're planning to do this every year in both East and West Hawaii.
Fantastic. We are almost out of time. I want to make sure I get to each of you for a final thought. Natalie, I'll start with you. We've laid out a lot of challenges that we have, but at the end of the day, hopefully we also encourage people to step into this field as well.
Yeah, I would definitely, I think, you know, being from this community and born and raised in Hawaii, it's so important to me that we have quality healthcare providers to take care of our ohana. And I encourage, you know, more local kids to, you know, grow up and do that and get into those roles. And like what everyone's talked about today, you know, there are these opportunities, there are jobs, and we definitely, you know, want to see them grow up and do big things.
Laura.
Yeah, the Center for Nursing, we were established by state law 20 years ago, and so much has happened in that time. We're right now working on doing two things: workforce projections. So how many nurses are we going to need in a dozen years? Do we have too many nurses? Probably not. Or do we have too few? And then how do we make that untrue? So while we're doing projections, we're also doing a lot of focus groups right now to figure out not just what we need, but how we should be doing it. And I'm really excited about that, because what it's doing, similar to our conversation today, it's like, okay, we know things are hard, but what are the solutions and how are we going to build that future? And what are the success factors? Like, what are we going to do to win? Because I know that we can win. I know that we can solve these problems. And having the opportunity to be committed and to serve the state to find the solutions that will get us to a brighter future, to equilibrium, it's a really exciting time and a really important time to be able to do that work.
Thank you so much. And Vicki, we'll give you the final word.
Awesome. Community health centers are healthcare's best kept secret. So if you're interested in learning more about community health and federally qualified health centers, come and visit us. If you're in need of a primary care provider, behavioral health, a dentist, if you need some help coordinating your care, come and visit us. We'd be happy to take care of you. So please, if you're on Hawaii Island, stop by one of our 19 centers. And come and see us on the 20th. If you're interested in a career in health, you know, come and meet some of the people that have been working in it and want to kind of spread the good word. You know, we're here to be of service to the community.
Thank you for all that each and every one of you do for our community. We so appreciate you. We do want to thank our guests, Natalie Talamoa, Executive Director of Hawaii Residency Programs, Laura Reichhardt, Director of the Hawaii State Center for Nursing, and Dr. Victoria Haynes, Chief Operating Officer for the Hawaii Island Community Health Center. And of course, we thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. Have a comment to share about our program? Call our talkback line at 808-792-8217. You can send us an email as well, talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. If you'd like to listen back to today's show, check out the Conversation podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Yenji Denise in for Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of The Conversation.